Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a juicy little Monday. It's your sports bros, your sportsman, Rob. That's me.
Sada.
Big Sooks right over there. Look at him.
Right here.
And we got Schultzy over there in the Mariners do-rag today as they have signed Josh Naylor to a five-year deal.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Except I don't think that's the reason why the Mariner gear. I think this is just a Monday.
I did specifically wear the headband because of Josh Naylor, but the rest of the Mariners gear, Sook, you are correct. It's just because
he wears a headband, right?
Yes, he does. Yeah. I'm assuming we're going to see a lot more headbands on fans next year at T-Mobile. Because man, I swear, even in the 47,000 seat full stadium in the ALDS, I think it was game two I went to, I did not see another fan, not one single one wearing a headband.
And that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's not good. Speaking of bad facial
hair. How can you let that happen, Mariner fans?
You were talking about the Cooper Flagg bad facial hair.
Yeah.
I give you Josh Naylor.
Yeah, it's rough, too.
It's awful.
Who do you think has the worst facial hair in sports?
I don't know, like, right now. The worst of all time is Al Farouq Aminu. Like, for a while there, the Blazers led the league in bad facial hair, and no one epitomized that more than
Al
Farouq.
No one really talks about it. Because he's Damian Lillard and we love him.
It's some of the worst.
Dude, his whatever he has going on, not good.
Now,
he's kept it for years.
Now, I will say that it has grown in over the years. It's it's gotten better, but for a while there he had like eight hairs on his chin, and now it's at least it's rounded into a beard. It's better than it was as he's gotten older. Al Farouq, that's a whole different ball game. But the NBA in general, it's just, it's full of bad. I give you the Ball brothers. Look at LaMelo Balls. Dude, it's just.
I haven't seen him in a while.
It is rough. Who else? Brandon Ingram. Cooper Flagg has got some sort of weird Josh Naylor pirate buccaneer thing that he's doing lately. That's terrible.
Yeah, you know who comes to mind when I think of worst current facial hair besides Cooper Flagg?
Yeah.
My God. Flag, you know, it's hard to wrap your head around the fact that he's 18 years old.
I know. So give him some.
Yeah. You
know.
I mean, and he looks like an 18-year-old.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he's like a gangly deer.
Yes.
Like, he's just.
It's not his fault. You're 18. It's,
right.
He
doesn't
bad.
Know how to look cool yet.
No.
But that facial hair.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Get the man a razor.
It's not good.
The boy. Get the boy a razor.
Yeah.
Well, you know who comes to mind? Aaron Glenn. The Jets coach,
yeah,
with that little whatever he's doing with that,
yeah.
What even is that? It's not a goatee, it's not a beard.
Looks like a Santa Claus goatee.
It's
but
white.
It's, not.
It's small. It's stupid. That is the only other really bad facial hair that I can think of.
There's plenty.
I'm sure there's a ton of it. I'm just saying what I watch. Like I don't watch a lot of the NBA.
Sure,
but
well, and he's an all timer, but Steph Curry has. Horrific facial hair.
Well, he
can't really grow it, and yet he attempts to grow it.
What is with that patchy beard thing that grown men do? Like, that's been one of my biggest fears. Like, if I've got, like, a little hole in my beard, I'm shaving the rest of it until that comes back. I mean, I don't understand.
Because everyone wants, you want eventually to be able to grow a beard, and you can, and it's hard to, it's hard to come to grips with. And so you're Steph Curry. You've been in the zone for, 20-plus years. You figure, what the hell, man? I can do this. Kevin Durant has an awful beard. Dude, there's way worse.
Well, okay, but Aaron Glenn's beard, or whatever that is Kevin Durant's only worse because it's gray.
I think Aaron Glenn pulls it off better than Kevin Durant. At least
I don't.
At least Aaron Glenn, there's a beard, there's a shape to it. Kevin Durant's got some sort of
there
weird.
There really isn't, though. Did you see him the other day? He changes it. So you can't just Google image him. It was the other day. It's not a beard. It's literally a thing hanging off of his chin.
It's a Colonel Sanders,
and
like,
it's white
little chin beard. That's what it looks like to me.
No mustache. Yeah. No, I mean, it's no flavor saver.
I see it here.
What is that? Yeah. Just shave it.
Yeah, that's. And he can grow a beard. Yeah, that's.
Yes,
that's,
he has a nice big white beard if he would grow it.
That's a rough look.
Come on, Aaron.
Again, maybe he lost a bet.
Should fire him just for that. Yeah, so we, what are we doing? Where are we? Who's winning?
I don't know. We were talking about Schultze and Josh Naylor, and then we got into beards, and it was a whole thing.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Derailed me. We got to get back to our college football skibbity toilet.
Yes.
Coming up next.
Yes. Okay. It was a good week.
It was a very good week, yes. We will also get back to the NFL, too, because I want to talk about the dumb coach-off last night between Dan Campbell and Nick Sirianni.
There has not been two better teams that engaged in a game that I was allergic to quite like that in some time. It was, dude, that was rough stuff.
I turned it off.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It was really bad.
It's like, you know what? Let's watch some Christmas stuff, babe. All right, cool.
Schultz's got hometown holiday, like Hallmark. Let me guess, a tough-nosed businesswoman that had made her life in New York, came back to her small town in Georgia, and you know what? She found what she was missing.
Actually, pretty damn close, and we just got sucked into like a four-season show on Hallmark. It's called The Way Home, so yeah.
Of course, you gotta find your way home.
You're into it.
You got to.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
I've been watching Pluribus. You started that yet?
Pluribus.
Yeah, it's on Apple.
No, I'm not familiar with Pluribus.
It's with Kim Wexler.
Ooh. I don't know who Kim Wexler is either.
Well, you watched Better Call Saul, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
She was his Bob's love interest.
Oh, okay.
Or Saul's, you know.
Yes.
What was his name?
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk,
is he's Saul.
Yeah. Kim Wexler, the female lawyer in that?
Yeah.
That's...
okay.
She's in Pluribus. It's on Apple TV.
Give it a whirl.
You know what? There's only three episodes out. Yeah. I've watched all three. It is interesting. It's got Severance vibes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird.
Okay.
A little out there. I have no idea what's happening yet.
So you're early on. You can't give the recommendation, but you're intrigued.
Yeah, I'm going to keep watching it for sure.
All right.
But no one has any idea what's going on yet.
Much like
so
Aaron,
it's one of those.
Much like Aaron Glenn's beard.
Yes.
It's a lot of questions, and we don't have answers, but we keep watching.
And
for
those
some
shows can be rough when they don't eventually explain it.
Yes.
You know, and they just drag it out. Yeah. Like, that's the hard part.
Severance
was like that.
I usually give you about 3 to 4 episodes, and then after that, I'm like, you know what? You don't have me anymore.
Severance kept dragging it out to the point where I was like, what is happening? What is going on?
Tell me.
Hopefully this one gets to it a little faster, but it has not through 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's intriguing. All right. We will get back to college football. Bama loses.
Mm-hmm.
Is this guy undervalued? And we now have a scenario that Duck fans may love. Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, let's put a bow on the college football weekend. You know, we were speaking about the South Carolina-Texas A&M game a little bit earlier.
Game was drunk.
It was wild. I've never seen a game that was two different games that distinctly.
No.
It was just two completely different games. Like, yeah. I've never seen anything like that.
And some of it, obviously, was South Carolina, but a lot of that was simply Marcel Reed. I don't know if I've seen a player be that bad and then turn it on and look like the best player in college football, but that is kind of the Marcel Reed experience in that he's very uneven, and his teammates, they're good enough that they can get around his shortcomings at times.
Well, they have a good defense.
Yeah.
Although they did give up 30 in the first half.
Yeah.
So I don't know what
to
make
of it. Some
of
that, though, is off of picks and short fields.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So
I don't know what to make of A&M. I
don't know either, but
that SEC is going to get a lot of teams in the tournament.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to be in there no matter what, even if they lose to Texas and don't go to the SEC title game.
Well, I think most years when I look at this time of the year where we've got a couple weeks left and then conference titles, like there's usually about three teams that actually look the part that you can say, you know, that's a team that can win a national title. I've never seen where I think you can make a case that 9 or 10 teams, if the bracket breaks their way and if they get hot, are capable of doing it. And A&M is one of those. I could see it. And by the way, of those teams, you can make the argument that almost every one of them is, it wouldn't shock you if they were bounced in the first round, right? Ohio State certainly looks the part, but Ohio State really hasn't been tested that much. And we saw Texas absolutely hold them down. They don't run the ball very well. Indiana looks great, but we know from a talent standpoint, Indiana isn't as talented as the other teams. A&M looks like maybe the most vulnerable undefeated team at this point in the season that we've ever seen. Georgia, you know, you like Georgia, and I think they're playing well at the same time, but Georgia hates their offense, and they want their offensive coordinator fired, although they did a nice job this week. Ole Miss is Ole Miss. You don't trust them. Oregon, this isn't the best Oregon team that we've seen. Texas Tech doesn't, you know, from an offensive standpoint, Texas Tech doesn't scare you at all. Oklahoma is Iowa with better uniforms. Alabama just showed you that if Ty Simpson isn't elite, that Alabama is beyond vulnerable. And yet everyone, and then Notre Dame, every one of those teams has a flaw, but every one of those teams, if they get hot and the bracket breaks their way, could win a national championship. I think it's, this is modern college football, and I think it's great.
Did you know that preseason number 1, 2, 4, and 9 have no shot at the playoff?
So what? So A&M, or not A&M, but Texas.
Yeah.
Who else? Florida State was probably 9.
No.
No?
LSU.
Oh, LSU, and then what, Clemson, right?
Clemson and Penn State.
Yeah.
Texas, Penn State, Clemson, LSU, number 1, 2, 4, and 9 in the preseason. No chance of, I mean, not even sniffing the playoff.
No.
Which is why we shouldn't have preseason rankings, but whatever. That's a discussion for another day. You're right. It is going to be fun.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. The one thing about the South Carolina game we have yet to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And
God, I know where you're going with this.
Well, yeah, it's High T Trooper guy.
Tuffy Tufferton.
Yeah.
Jesus.
High T Trooper strikes again. No more free games for you, you goober.
Dude, that is unbelievable. And upon, if you haven't seen this, right, so two South Carolina players are coming down the tunnel, and State Trooper guy in his sweet little tight-fitting uniform, get yourself a large, man. It's okay. You can bump it up. He's got his cowboy hat on. He walks in between two players, and he doesn't just bump into them. My man throws a shoulder. When you break that down and you go slow-mo Zapruder film, he throws the left shoulder into the player. He does it on purpose, and then he turns around and gives him a what? What, you can't do that when you have a gun and the two players are walking onto the field, you douche.
Yeah.
And they, by the way, they booted him.
They got rid of him.
They got rid of him. He was told to leave the stadium, and he has been relieved of game day duties.
What is it with guys like that?
I don't know, man.
Jeez, man.
Dude, my buddy's a state trooper, and he works security for the Seahawks. And so they have Seahawks hire state troopers. Most places do. And some like college coaches have their own state trooper. He's like, it's their specific guy. But dude, you can take your job seriously without bowing up on opposing players. I mean, that is embarrassing. You imagine if the player had turned around and it, luckily one of the players grabbed the other one and was like, yeah, dude, just keep walking. That could have been a really, really bad scene there in the tunnel.
It was a little thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, imagine having to deal with that guy in real life situations.
Yes.
You know?
Like, trust me,
he is a cop.
That ain't the guy you want to get pulled over by.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope he loses that job too.
Nah, he won't lose his job. It's hard to fire those guys.
That's a bad representation, man. My dad did that a couple of times for the Blazers when he was a Marion County police officer, and he knew. It's like, this is a cushy gig. You just act like you've been there before, stay out of the way.
That guy's too high T to see that.
Yeah. Well, he won't lose the state trooper job. He ain't working any more games.
All right.
He's done with that.
Alabama lost. They doubled up Oklahoma in yards, but they turned it over 3 times, and they missed that field goal. You know, it was interesting that
special teams were a killer too.
Yeah, that leap by the Oklahoma bro, perfectly legal. I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either.
So I guess the whole thing is you, and we've seen this called, yeah, where if you jump over the line, mm-hmm, you get flagged.
Yes.
Right? You can't do that.
Yes.
But the rule is that if you are
stationary, yeah,
before you jump over the line, it actually is legal. So that dude just did the freaking...
jump out of a pool thing.
Who was the Oregon kid?
Colt Lierla.
Yeah, the Colt Lierla jump, like standing still in a pool, jumping up and out and, yeah, onto the side of the pool.
I still thought upon review that it was a penalty because he landed on one of the players, which you can't do. But then I guess they were saying, as long as you didn't use that to propel yourself, you're still allowed to land on a guy. I can't believe that wasn't flagged. Like, because normally in that situation, when someone leaps like that, letter of the law, like that flag gets thrown. And certainly Alabama was all pissy about it. And in real time, I was like, oh, that's a penalty. But I guess technically by the letter of the law, by the thinnest of margins, he got away with it.
Crazy.
And it should have never come to that. Alabama picked a really bad time for Ty Simpson to look mortal, and the turnovers, and again, special teams play. Oklahoma is the new Iowa. They have no offense. John Mateer, I think, threw for like 103 yards. He has not been good since coming back from injury. And yet their defense is so nasty. They are the Iowa of the South. They drag you into deep waters and try to strangle you. And it's kind of fun to see another team with only one way to beat you, but finding ways to do it. And now we're sitting in a nice spot.
The SEC is pretty awesome. Georgia hammered Texas.
Yeah.
Is it possible Gunnar Stockton's underrated? He's not bad, man.
He's not good either.
I think he kind of is.
It's like...
Because Georgia's sitting there... So we talk about Alabama, but then,
yeah,
they lose.
Yeah.
We talk about A&M, and they fall down by 27 at, yeah, home. Like, who the hell is going to win the SEC? Who wants it? Is it going to be Georgia in the end?
I think it's going to be Georgia.
Because Texas... So Georgia... But here's the thing. I was looking this up today. Georgia can't even get into the game unless Alabama loses to Auburn or A&M loses to Texas. So they need one of those two things to happen. They beat Alabama.
Yeah, they beat Bama.
And they have the tiebreaker over Ole Miss. Ole Miss only has one loss, too. But they, tiebreaker-wise, they're kind of screwed. They need, actually, I think Ole Miss needs both things to happen, A&M and Alabama to lose.
Well, you said they beat Bama. They didn't. Georgia lost to Alabama.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They lost to Alabama.
They beat Ole Miss, lost. So, I haven't seen this. What exactly is, who's got the inside track?
Right now, it's, obviously it's A&M.
A&M.
If A&M beats Texas, they're in.
They're in.
If Alabama beats Auburn, they're in. If one or both of those lose, Georgia slides in. And if they both lose, I think it might be Georgia Ole Miss. Mm.
I'll say this. As Georgia feels like it could be one of those teams that will end up peaking at the right time, and... I'm not certain of those teams. I thought it was kind of Alabama, and I still like Bama. I just, if you had to say, like, let's say I'm Oregon, right? And that's my first round matchup, is I'm going to get an SEC team. Ooh. And I get to pick one that I don't, right? Like, I just get to eliminate them and be like, nope, I want them to win the SEC. So they're not in my side of the bracket. I might just take Georgia and say, you know what? We're going to shove this aside. I feel like they may be the team that's peaking, and I kind of thought that was Bama, but was really disappointed. That was the worst that Bama has played as a team, and they weren't awful, and they still should have won that game, but that was the worst, I think, effort from a total standpoint since the Florida State one.
They couldn't run the ball.
Ty Simpson didn't look like the tight end. Their defense was fine, played well enough, but they just...
Well, I think Venables has a little something,
yeah,
on their offense. Like he figured him out last year,
yep,
and he did it again this year.
Yeah, he's the kind of the new the new John Wick for them. He's just the Baba Yaga. He scares them.
But the thing about it is none of it really matters. Like if you look at Georgia, A&M, Alabama,
chances are they're all
Ole Miss, and Georgia, A&M, Alabama, Ole Miss. Is there another one I'm missing? Georgia?
There's five.
Who's the fifth?
That should get in. Well,
who am I missing?
Oklahoma, right? Did you say Oklahoma?
Are they the fifth?
I think they're the fifth.
They have two losses?
They have two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all going to the tournament, most likely.
Yeah, because you have...
No matter what.
A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Bama. Yeah. more than likely those teams are all going.
Yeah, they just have to win out. Like, yes. Actually, A&M doesn't even have to win out.
No.
Alabama has to now beat Auburn. They must, yeah. Or they're not going to the tournament.
Yeah. And Georgia can stub their toe again, too, because they're 9-1.
Well, but they're done with the SEC.
They're done. Yeah, so they got Georgia Tech. But even if they were to lose to Georgia Tech, it wouldn't matter. I think Georgia still gets in.
And then Oklahoma, I haven't seen. Who do they have? Do they have to play Oklahoma State then still?
Yeah, Oklahoma has. They got Missouri left, and they got LSU.
Oh, okay. Should win them both.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, with Oklahoma's offense, nothing is guaranteed. They are Iowa. They are not a good offensive football team.
Do you think A&M is this year's Oregon?
Oh, boy.
Remember Oregon was undefeated, number one last year?
Yes.
Is A&M the same team?
That's a really good comp. Because of the teams that we just mentioned, with the exception of Oklahoma, who I just don't buy. They just don't play good enough offense. But and it's funny because like we sat there and we just, you know, I kind of went through those teams that I'm like, I don't know about. But if you told me A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama, I'm gonna take Oklahoma out of it. You said which one of those teams loses in the first round? It's Texas A&M. So yes, to answer your question, in a roundabout way, there is a real, real good chance that is Oregon, that they could get a bye. Will get a bye, and someone's going to come in and that their first game and knock off Texas A&M. I totally can see that.
You know, we now have a scenario where Alabama could be coming to Autzen.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, Oregon is kind of – they could host a first-round game.
Yeah.
It's going to be very difficult for Oregon to get a bye.
Yeah, they're not going to get a bye.
Because Ohio State and Indiana have the Big Ten championship locked up, generally speaking. So Oregon will either they're going to fall in the 7, 8, 9, 10 range. Mm-hmm. And in there, you either host a game or you go on the road for a first round game.
Yeah.
And the other teams that are in there are the teams that don't win the SEC.
Yeah.
So you've got Notre Dame's going to be in there. Mm-hmm. But in the SEC, you're going to have Bama. You're going to have Ole Miss. Maybe Georgia, if Georgia doesn't get to the SEC title game, one of those schools is coming to Autzen. Could come to Autzen for a first-round playoff game. And how badass would that be? Kalen DeBoer in Alabama at Autzen?
Yeah. Well, dude, any of that. Lane Kiffin, Kalen DeBoer, Marcus. So Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Alabama.
Maybe Georgia. I think you want Alabama. They've always won. Oregon fans always
wanted
Alabama.
You always want Alabama. Well, this is the year that you might get them.
It's possible.
And Alabama doesn't run the ball very well, and Oregon has a really good secondary, and that would be a really, really fun matchup.
All right, we'll get back to the NFL coming up next. A dumb coach-off last night, but first, here's Schultzy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So back to the NFL, we're watching Monday Night Football, and it's the Raiders and Cowboys.
And boy, let me tell you, it's exciting.
3-3.
Yeah.
And so they're still in the first quarter. But show contributor Joe Fisher Jr.
Yeah.
Or is it the third? Junior.
He is the third.
He's the third, yeah.
And right? Then his kid's the fourth, because there's little Joe, too.
Dad is Joe Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, little Joe can't control himself on the soccer pitch.
Yeah, he's got a angry outburst sort of thing. He's throwing yellow cards, and apparently Joe's all about it.
Oh, Joe, his dad?
Yeah, I guess he's
our Joe.
He's encouraging.
Oh, he loves it. Oh,
he loves it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he was just leaving after a hard day's work over in sales. And he told me that George Pickens and C.D. Lamb did not play in the first series of this game.
Yeah.
For violating team rules.
Yes, we've seen a lot of this lately.
They were benched.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abdul Carter, actually, for the Giants over the weekend.
Abdul Carter got benched. Keon Coleman, the Bills. He just got scratched. He didn't play at all. Carter was a series. This was a series.
Now, they are in Vegas.
Yeah. Is that really a punishment, a series?
I guess it sends a message.
You're trying to send a message, but you don't want to send a message of you're the only two real offensive players we have, so sit down.
Now, when does an NFL team get to a city for a game?
The day before.
So they got here yesterday?
Yes. And you sleep in the hotel, wherever the team hotel is. So in Vegas, now we never played in Vegas. Obviously, there wasn't a team. But you're not going to be on the strip. They're going to put you in a hotel that's a little more kind of away from things. In most places, it's a nicer hotel like the Ritz or something. So, and they have, teams have deals, whether it's with Marriott or the Ritz-Carlton or whatever. And there's curfew and all that. Like, they do come around and check your room. And they try to make sure that people are on the rails. And apparently Pickens and CeeDee Lamb were not.
What they did.
Oh, team rules can everything. My guess is either not making curfew or someone in the room after curfew is kind of a pretty standard one, you know?
I do know.
Yeah, that's usually...
I violate team rules all the time.
Yeah. Happens quite a bit. I mean, Abdul Carter claims that... So he slept through a walkthrough, and he claims that he was doing rehab, which not sure how that works. You don't get suspended for that, but... Yeah, that's a maturity thing with a lot of those guys.
So we watched the Eagles and Lions last night.
Dude, boy, that was a rough watch.
Yeah. Oddly fascinating, though.
This is just, if you tune into a Philadelphia game, just be prepared that this is what you get. Also, can we point out that freaking Howie Roseman did it again. Jalen Phillips comes over from the Dolphins, and until he blows out another knee, dude, that guy just seamlessly fits and now is just wrecking people. And the Philadelphia defense is back to doing what the Philly defense does, which is just completely button up good offenses.
Yeah, they're super nasty.
Yes.
But boy, does their offense suck.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's worse than you think. Like,
yeah,
if I woke you up from a coma and you watched the Eagles win the Super Bowl,
yeah.
I don't think I could describe, and you haven't watched them this year. I don't think I could properly describe to you how bad their offense is.
I think since Jalen Hurts has become their starter, which, by the way, has led to two Super Bowl appearances and a Super Bowl victory, and Jalen Hurts, by the way, in those two Super Bowls looked like Superman, I believe it is the 24th best passing offense in the NFL. And all their receivers hate each other.
Yeah.
They hate the coach. They don't want to be there. And yet all they do is win.
It's wild.
It is alarming.
Because... AJ Brown is awful.
Yes.
And I don't understand why they don't just, I mean, I guess you can't.
You can't.
Dude, that guy needs a, they got to bench him or something. They got to send a message to him. That whole situation, you can see it in his play.
Yes.
And so that can't, you can't as the head coach allow that. You just can't.
But you can't because at times he is the only offense you have.
Like, but he sucks kind of.
Well, he sucks because no one can get him the ball. But like last night, he had 7 catches. Like he is at times. Man. I want to be double check this. Yes. So he had 7 catches for 49 yards, which by the way is, it's 49 yards, but they only threw for 135. The next best player had 2 catches.
No, I get it.
Remember
but
that
they have Smith. That, Saquon, like how many did Saquon run for?
Not many. I mean, he's just, Saquon
70,
is.
70, 80?
Yeah. Let me pull it up. Sorry.
He ran a little bit, but.
Yeah, he ran 26 for 83. So,
yeah.
Long of 14.
They should just be, I don't understand why they suck so bad.
Well, and now they've.
Clearly none of them are on the same page.
And now Lane Johnson is out for a significant period of time.
2 offensive linemen are out.
Yes. I'm trying to think of the game earlier where they came back. Was it the, they were down big and they came back and they won the game. Was that against the Rams that they did that? They were getting their asses kicked.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And then in the second half, they were like, we can't do anything. And they literally told AJ Brown, we are going to throw you the ball on every play and just go be better than everyone on the Rams. And he was. So like, I understand that like we all want to have this dude, just F that guy, get him out of town. But you can't because their offense is so anemic that at times the only thing you have is bully ball with AJ Brown on the outside.
Well, some of it, Hurts can't
hit
me if I'm 5 feet from him. Like, no. I don't, he's a wild case study to me.
Yeah.
because he's really good if he runs, but he doesn't really run because they want to keep him upright.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
He's wildly inaccurate. He doesn't turn it over, though.
And he comes through in huge moments.
Yeah.
In, like the biggest games.
Dude, I don't understand. I don't understand the Eagles. I also don't understand how their head coach, because for a lot of that game, I was sitting here going, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, they're managing this game really well. They know that their defense has a lock on Detroit's offense. Mm-hmm. You know, just be conservative, punt, you know. And they were trying to hit some big plays offensively. Just Hurts can't hit anything.
No.
And I was kind of in my head going, you know, Sirianni, maybe he's figuring this out. I feel like he's managing this game really well. This is a game that they're going to hold on. It never felt like Detroit had a chance.
No.
Until Nick Sirianni somehow decides to do two tush pushes in a row on his own 30, up 10 in the final 4 minutes.
What are we doing?
They don't get either of them.
Yeah.
You effing moron. So now Lions are instantly in field goal range, which means it is instantly down to a one score game. Yep. If you had just punted, they're not going to beat you. What is he doing?
But you could say the same thing about Dan Campbell.
Oh my God, these coaches.
I should have broken out my Iowa punt sweatshirt. This was the third quarter. So it was 13 to 6 going into the second half. Downs punt, downs punt, downs punt, field goal, punt, 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 downs, field goal. End of game. That was the second half of that game.
Can I just say, of all of those drives, there was one in there that, it was a dumb coach off.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was Dan Campbell trying to be dumber than Nick Sirianni.
He's like,
and then Nick Sirianni's like, hold on, dude, I'm dumber than you. Watch this. Because I think it was the series before. I think it was the series right before Sirianni went for it. Campbell, who'd been going for it on fourth down every single series,
punted.
That's his bit.
Yep.
He punted. It was like fourth and three.
Yeah.
Why did he do that?
He just couldn't bring himself. Finally, enough. Guys,
it's almost like he was surrendering the game.
I just can't do it anymore. I can't. We can't do
bro,
this.
Bro. What a mess of a game.
It really was.
And those teams are supposed to be good. I mean, they're good.
Yes.
Lions right now are not in the playoffs.
Yeah. If the playoffs started right now, the Kansas City Chiefs, and we got to talk about this because next week is monumental for the Chiefs. But if the playoffs started today, the Detroit Lions and the Kansas City Chiefs are not in the postseason.
Yeah.
But the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots are. There is a real chance, by the way, there is a path for the New England Patriots to be the number one seed and get a bye.
Yeah, baby.
In the postseason.
Is it possible that this thing is opening up a little bit, just a little bit, for Baltimore if they can sneak in?
Maybe, but
because that Kansas City, because the home teams,
by the way, they're going to get in.
The home teams are likely going to be Denver, New England, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to think.
I'll pull up the standings.
Charger? No. Who's the other?
In the AFC. So
Houston.
New England, Indianapolis, and
the Broncos. Sorry, Indy. Well, that's what I'm talking. Yeah. Okay, so the home teams are likely to be Denver, Indy, mm-hmm. and New England.
Yes.
Kansas City may get in. Their schedule looks like, I mean, they'll get in, but they don't look right.
Nope.
They're going on the road. Buffalo has no receivers for Josh Allen and no run defense.
And really no path unless New England just craps the bed. New England's going on the Buffalo's going on the road. New England's going to win that division.
So then you sit there and you look at the Ravens and they don't look good either. I mean, they did not look good at Cleveland, but they've won 4 in a row now. They started 1-5. Now they're 5-5. This thing might be opening up for them with Kansas City and Buffalo kind of, I don't know, just they're not quite where we thought they would be.
Yep.
Baltimore can go on the road and win at Denver. They can go on the road and win at New England.
Yes.
Way better than, or way easier than, none of it's easy. I'm just saying, like, you don't want to, like, Baltimore getting themselves behind the 8 ball, starting 1-5, mm-hmm. even if they get in the tournament in a normal year, you're not winning at Kansas City and Buffalo. This is a little bit different.
Yes. And their defense has it figured out that Kyle Hamilton's playing as good as anybody not named Myles Garrett. And, you know, the offense against the Browns was very wonky, and they really needed Shedeur Sanders to do Shedeur Sanders things. in order to win that game. But Baltimore will win that division. The Steelers go away. Baltimore will win that division. And you're in the playoffs this year. We talked about how college football is more open than it's ever been. Dude, I give you the NFL. I don't know. I have no idea right now if I were to tell you. Outside, I think the Rams are the best team in the NFL. Outside of that, and by the way, they damn near lost and intercepted Sam Darnold 4 times. It's just a really, really weird season in the NFL that I can't remember something like this. And I mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs losing to the Broncos. Now, they're 5-5, and they got Indy next week. If they do not beat the Indianapolis Colts and they go to 5-6, there is a real likely scenario where they have to win out in order to make the postseason. And I'm not saying it's a murderer's row, but there is probably not a lot of wiggle room. If you lose another game, there is a better than good chance that they do not make it if they lose to Indy. And that would be Dallas, the Texans, the Chargers, the Titans, the Broncos, and the Raiders. Again, not a murderer's row, but the Chargers and the Broncos being on there could be terrifying, knowing that if you lose one of those games, you are out. This game against Indy coming up, it is everything for the Chiefs.
So I'll give you Eagles, Chiefs, mm-hmm. Bills, and Ravens.
Yeah.
I'll give you all four of those teams, but then I'll give you the field.
Oh, God.
Which do you want? Super Bowl.
Boy, if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have laughed and taken the four teams that you just gave me. But
I mean, Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens were the top four teams coming into the season.
I think
I will give you all four of them right now or the field. Which do you take?
God. That's really good. I think I would still take the four. Because even though they all have flaws, there's something about battle-tested teams in the postseason. Like, I'll believe it. I'll believe the Patriots. I'll believe the Colts. I'll believe the Broncos when I see it. And there's just something about Lamar and Josh and Patrick that I don't know. I think I would still lean to taking those four. Although I really like the Rams.
It's a tough one.
That's a really, really good.
But yeah, you think about outside of them, you're like, who do you really trust?
The Rams.
Rams.
That's
maybe the Patriots?
No.
Maybe?
No.
You don't trust Denver.
No.
You don't trust
I don't trust
the Chargers.
Indy. I don't trust the Chargers.
You don't trust the Steelers. You don't trust the Indy. You don't trust trying to think of NFC.
Yeah, you don't trust Chicago. You don't trust Green Bay. You don't trust Detroit. It's the Rams. Honestly,
Seattle, you don't trust.
No, the only team in there that I do think if you gave me one team, I'm sticking with my Rams, but I get four, and the only other team that I would want in there is the Rams. I'm taking the four that you gave me.
By the way, the Bears, with their fifth fourth quarter comeback win.
First place.
For the season. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They have they are 7-3.
Mm-hmm.
With a negative point differential.
Yes. Had no business beating the Commanders, found a way to come back against Cincinnati, the Giants, and then damn near choked it away to freaking 9.
You know the record?
J.J. McCarthy.
The NFL record for fourth quarter comeback wins mm-hmm. is in reach for your Chicago Bears this year.
Is it really?
Yeah, so they already have 5. The record is 8.
Mm.
With the Lions with Stafford in 2016. And Vikings with Cousins in 2022.
Well, we mentioned that it's up for grabs.
They're like the Commanders of last year.
The Bears are pretenders. The Bears are not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody expects them to do much, but nobody expected Washington to do much last year.
No, they did not. But of the teams that we mentioned, there is not a team that I have less faith in to make any sort of noise in the postseason than the Chicago Bears. But for all the crap that the Bears have taken over the years, good for Chicago for at least in the time being. Well, it's the middle of November and you're in first place. Enjoy it.
All right, we will come back, wrap up the Sports Hour next on The Fan.
It's time for a Ducks Report, the inside story on Ducks Athletics. Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Well, certainly a point of emphasis for us, you know, coming off that we got to be better at beginning games. We knew we wanted to take the ball. You know, they have a history of deferring. We thought we were going to have a chance to be on offense first, and we wanted to start fast. And ultimately, we did that. I think the only times we really hurt ourselves is when we, you know, start off a negative play for us, you know, offensively. But to be able to start quick was important for us tonight.
All right, well, the Cowboys taking the lead 10-6. The one other thing from the Eagles-Lions, that pass interference call at the end.
That's bad.
Have you ever seen a worse call?
No. And it really could have made a huge difference in that game.
Well, yeah.
You don't know if it would have, but that was an embarrassment. That was really bad.
I don't think I've ever seen a worse call. It's not, that wasn't even close.
No, we had the playoff one, the non-call. Remember, that was the Saints. It was the Saints and the Rams. Yeah. But yeah, that's as bad a call.
Even Collinsworth was flabbergasted.
Yeah, that's an embarrassment. That's really bad. And when you hate to see that, because bad calls happen. But in a moment like that, where it could have decided a game, or at least an opportunity to decide a game, that's the one that the NFL should. They just have to be better.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
Well, you're lucky.
Why is that?
Because I'm not going to hit you with Blazer takes until tomorrow. We have to go. I watched the Zers last night.
I still don't know if I fully believe you on this.
No, I did. Mm-hmm. I watched them. I got to tell you.
Talk to me.
Well, we'll get to it tomorrow. But I have an observation,
okay,
about the Blazers that I wonder if anybody has brought up yet. And I'm guessing they haven't.
It's going to be like one of your hot hockey takes. You're like, I got an idea how Portland can be better.
I mean, no, I have no idea how they can be better. I don't think they have good enough players. Okay.
Okay.
But, and also, if you want to understand why the NBA is an absolute crap watch, all you have to do is watch the 15-second possession the Blazers had at the end of that game with the game tied. That's it. That is all I need to submit to the court.
It's a damning piece of evidence, by the way.
To explain why the NBA is an absolute trash league. It sucks. That said, we have a team here, so I keep my eyes on them when I can. Mm-hmm. I don't go out of my way, but when they're on and I see that they're on, I'm like, Blazers, let's watch. Oh, and Cooper Flagg with his bad facial hair.
Yeah.
I will say, and this will be a tease for tomorrow.
Okay.
I saw something. The Blazers are doing something that I have never seen before. And I would like to bring it up to you and the listeners tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a hell of a tease.
Well, that's why they call me a radio professional. Yeah.
By the way, first time under 500 all year.
Yeah, shocker.
6-7.
How could anybody see that coming?
Still the 9 seed, though. That tasty play.
And I think I saw Dundon. Was he back there? Was he behind the bench there? Were you watching it?
I didn't see.
Because he lives in Dallas.
I didn't see if he was there or not.
I think he was there.
That would make sense.
Behind the...
Yeah.
All right. We have an abbreviated club, so we better get to it. Did you know that?
Get going. Well, we got Oregon basketball to get you, man.
Yeah. Not just Oregon basketball. Civil War basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And it's heated. I've... People have been telling me, people are saying, a lot of people. They're having to hold the teams back in pregame warm-ups.
Do that tunnel thing. Stay back.
It's so vicious.
Yeah.
We have the latest TikTok trend next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.